This is Creepy and Geeky, a part of the Morbidly Beautiful Podcast Network. Welcome to Creepy and Geeky. I'm your host, Robert, and today we're trying something a little different. I thought it would be fun to start off with a little catch-up on things I've watched or read and maybe talk about some horror and or geek news from the last week. And then I thought I should bring someone on to help me out with that. So I reached out to my great friend Donna from the Dawn of the Dead podcast, and she graciously agreed to help me out. Thank you for joining me, Donna.
Hey, thank you so much for thinking of me for this one, Robert.
Of course, yeah. We're going to try to do this every week going forward, but life happens. And sometimes Donna might not be able to join me, or we might not be able to have one at all, but we're going to try our best.
We'll try.
Yeah.
Fingers crossed.
Yes. Yeah. Gotta just lock down a good recording day and, you know, cause these shouldn't take too long. I imagine,
no.
You know, no more than 15, 20 minutes. Realistically, hopefully anyway. You know, but, you know, Donna and I like to talk, so you never know.
Don't tease them because it might be longer.
I know. We've already literally talked for a half hour before we started recording, so. I just wanted to start out, you know, like I said, this is both of us talking about, you know, movies we've watched, stuff we've read, just in general, anything creepy and or geeky. That we've been into for the last week. Plus, you know, talking about maybe some kind of news item that's popped up. You know, sometimes there's interesting things. Sometimes there's not so interesting things. I'm going to go ahead and start off. Over the last week or so, I watched three movies at the theater. Which were Ghostbusters, Frozen Empire, Immaculate, and Late Night with the Devil.
Oh my gosh, you watched three really good ones.
Yeah. So Ghostbusters, Frozen Empire, it's good. It's not bad. I think Afterlife is better, but it's still in keeping with that. The problem that, you know, and I mentioned this in my review of it on Letterboxd, is that the problem that I have with it is just that it feels like too stuffed with people, with characters, and that maybe we need to transition away from like most of the older cast. Like Ernie Hudson's character and Dan Aykroyd's character, they've kind of gone off to go do stuff, and their placement in the movie isn't bad, so it wouldn't be bad to have them as occasional supporting actors in the movie, in the series going forward, but I'd like to see them focus on the younger family now, because they're especially McKenna Grace's character in it, because she seems to be, over the last two movies, she seems to be the focal point, and she does a really good job at it. So it'd be really cool to see her storyline get kind of, you know, more focused and paid attention to.
Well, I'm going to be 100% honest with you. I have not seen any of those movies that you watched, but I have heard similar things about Ghostbusters, that it was good. A lot of people prefer Afterlife over this one, too.
Yeah.
I've actually heard a lot that this one is more like watching the cartoons, like it has more of a,
right,
I guess, nostalgic vibe on that end, on that side of it. And I really was hoping that they would focus more on the younger characters. Not that I don't want to see the older legacy characters, but, you know, if you're going to do something new, kind of break away from always having them be there. Let the kids kind of do their thing.
Well, and they moved the action from the small town back to New York.
And then they
overstuffed it with like old characters, because they got all the old Ghostbusters, all the living Ghostbusters. Annie Potts is back too. William Atherton came back now. And so they kind of like just stuffed everything full. Like the librarian from the first movie was there. It was
Oh
just
my
like,
God.
yeah, it was like ridiculous. Like everybody who they could get, they just like, here's a little cameo. Let's do that.
I mean, once again, I loved seeing them in Afterlife. I thought that was a great way to use them. But
Oh yeah.
going forward, I think it should have been more on the kids. Now, having said that, I'm not mad at it. I'm going to probably love it.
Yeah.
And along with the news, everybody is clamoring over the fact that Ernie Hudson is 70 fucking 8 years old. And
Yeah.
he looks amazing.
He does. I didn't know he was that old. That's
They, yeah,
crazy.
it's nuts. Like, if I age at least a tenth as well as this man, I'm doing pretty good. I think I'm doing pretty good at this age, but my God, 78? What is he doing?
Exactly.
Him and Paul Rudd in the same movie, I feel like they're vampires.
Get
Something's
some
going
Keanu
on,
Reeves in
Robert.
there, and it'd just be a whole like coven of vampires.
I just want to know what they're doing. Like, are you like using innocent blood or what are you doing, sir? I need to know.
Right.
But go ahead. I'm sorry.
But
I just
no,
had to
no.
interject that he's 70 fucking eight. What the hell?
Yeah. No, it's but yeah, no, it's a fun movie. I think it's pretty well done, and I think but I think that Afterlife did a better job at kind of focusing in on the family a little bit more.
Right.
And this one just kind of went, okay, let's expand out. And it, like I said, it kind of felt overstuffed at times, and there was like a little too much going on. And then like they even brought back some of the younger characters from Afterlife and brought them to New York in, kind of contrived ways to make sure that they still got to be in the sequel. And it's like, okay, like I'm glad to see them, but it's such a weird, like, okay, yeah, sure, somebody's doing this thing and somebody's doing that thing. It's like, okay, whatever. But again, it's still fun. I don't want to turn anybody away. It's really fun. And I think that it's got the same vibe. And I do agree with you what people said. And I think that was their intention, was to make it more like the real Ghostbusters cartoon, like
Right.
an episode of that. And so, because there's kind of silly-ish, kind of over the top stuff going on. But I will also caution that there are some bits that were in the trailers that didn't make it to the actual movie, and stuff that I thought was like actually either funny or whatever. And so when you don't see those in the finished movie, you're just like, oh, what
That's
happened to
the
those
worst.
bits? I
I hate
know.
when they do that in trailers. You get like so hyped to see stuff, and then you get there and it's like, what the fuck? This is on the cutting room floor. Why did you
Yeah.
tease me like this?
I know. And and I understand it's because the people who put together the trailers, they put it together with whatever footage they have at that time. And so when the movie comes out, some bits of those might have been cut out. But yeah, it's always frustrating because I'm just like, what, but why? Those were funny bits.
Yeah, that's exactly how we are. Like, what? I paid money because I thought I was going to see this, but okay, I'll enjoy this ride, I guess.
So yeah. So then next up, just in time for Easter, we got a religious slash demonic twofer. This last week we got Immaculate and Late Night with the Devil. Immaculate with Sydney Sweeney is it's immaculate. It is really, really, really good. If you like nuns, I don't even like consider it nunsploitation because it's really not. But if you really like that religious horror,
I do.
then I think you'll really like Immaculate.
I like Sydney Sweeney.
I do
She's
too. She's
gorgeous. She is gorgeous, but she's got a head for business. Like
she does. She, yeah.
she
Go
knows
ahead.
what she's wanting to do. And wasn't she a producer on this? I believe she was.
She is a producer. She tried to get
Yeah.
this movie made for 10 years. So
Yeah,
she brought the movie to the director who she's worked with before. They did a movie together, and they did a Netflix TV series together. And so she was just like, she was trying to get this made and brought it to him to get it made.
She's
So.
definitely a girl after my own heart. Like, she really loves horror films. You know,
She's been in
yeah,
quite a few.
She's beautiful, but she is a really good actress. I don't know if you've ever seen one episode of Euphoria, but
Oh, yeah.
everybody always talks about obviously her body. The woman's body is insane, but she really is a great actress. And I hope we get to see more out of her production company. I hope she does a lot more horror
I
because
hope
she
so too.
definitely has an eye for it. And she's a very astute businesswoman. I can't wait to see what she does next, and I really want to see this. Religious horror is like my jam. I absolutely love it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, I agree. I think she's a fantastic actress. I think you clued me into Euphoria.
Oh yeah.
My daughter was watching it, and you were telling me too that it was such a good show, at least the first season. And then it went so downhill. And then
Quiet, you. I love the second season. I'm
oh
not even
my
going to
gosh.
entertain that. Move on, move on. Let's not argue.
So there is a third season coming, by the way. So
Allegedly, that's on
allegedly, yeah, 2020,
hiatus.
yeah, 2025 is when it's supposed to be happening, when it's supposed to come out, and it's been dropped from 8 episodes to 6 episodes.
Don't even know if that's going to happen because between all of the movie
Right?
careers, Jacob Elordi, Sydney Sweeney,
Yeah.
Zendaya, all of these people are just crushing it
Like,
at
how are they
theaters
supposed
right
to be?
now.
Yeah, I think HBO is dreaming about getting these people back on schedule for that. But I think that's why the schedule is so far out for getting it done,
Right.
is because they're just like, okay, well, we know everybody's like super busy, so let's try to get them locked in for a later date. And it's just like, I don't know, people, you guys might need to move on. Just enjoy those 2 seasons you had, and then,
Get another crop of kids, you know what I
yeah,
mean? I
I
mean,
mean
it's not like
that
that
would
show
work too.
couldn't go on.
That's true, and that's the thing too. Like Hunter Schafer, she's coming up. She's got a new horror movie coming out soon too, Cuckoo. Which
Oh,
I
I
just
saw
saw the
that.
trailer. I just saw the trailer for it in front of Late Night with the Devil, and I had never seen a trailer for it until then, and I was like, oh, I'm so in for that.
Yeah, that's going
So
to be insane. I really want to see that.
that looks really good. But yeah, Immaculate is really, really good. It goes to interesting places that I didn't think it would go to, and it's got an ending that is going to be. I literally looked at my daughter, and as when it ended, I was like, I turned to her and I was like, oh, this is gonna be divisive. So so it's gonna be an interesting, like, but I haven't heard anybody talk anything bad about it who have actually gone and seen it, and most people are enjoying it. So, and it
No,
did,
I've heard nothing but good things about
yeah.
it. I just spoke with oh my gosh, I'm sorry. I just drew a blank. I just spoke with the guys at another goddamn horror podcast, and Jonas saw it and he said it was amazing. And I was like, damn it, I hate these people can go see movies all the time. I never get to go see stuff. And now you're saying it was great. So I'm like, okay, and the ending, now you've got me peaked. So I might have
Yeah.
to go.
Yeah. No, you definitely gotta go. You gotta go see it. But yeah. Yeah, it's really fantastic. It's definitely worth the watch. And it was the production company Neon, it was their highest like the highest box office that they've made so far on any of their
Oh
movies. They
shit,
made the most,
really?
yeah. Yep. Their highest opening weekend. So yeah, it's pretty crazy. And it was a good weekend for horror too, because Late Night with the Devil was the highest opening weekend for IFC Films also. So
Now you know they got to be loving that.
yeah, horror is like huge right now. Like, because it's, like everybody said, it's cheap to make, and it's so much, and it tends to make a lot of money. So on top
Yeah,
of
it looks like 2024 is going to be an extremely good year for horror.
oh
I mean, the
yeah.
last few years have been great, but I mean, we're just now getting to be in April almost, and it's just been outstanding with
Oh,
films
it's been
coming out.
super good. Yeah.
I do like the little trivia fact that's going around everywhere that Late Night with the Devil made
Yeah. I'm not sure
$666,666.
how accurate that is on its
That's
first
not
day.
accurate at
Yeah.
all, but it's still
Yeah.
fun to
But it's
say,
still fun, yeah. I mean, it's definitely fun to hope that that's what it made, but yeah, I doubt that it actually made that much on its first night. But yes, let's talk about Late Night with the Devil. That's the new David Dashmalchian movie
Oh,
where
you
he
said his
plays.
name so perfectly. Oh my God,
Yeah,
I always butcher it.
I've been practicing.
Trying it out in the
Right.
backyard.
No, so it's his new movie where he's a late night host who is struggling with his ratings, and so he decides to bring on a woman who has a girl. She's a the woman's a doctor, and brings on this girl who is possessed by a demon. And of course, what could go wrong?
Well, all
So
hell breaks loose.
yeah. So the interesting
Sorry.
thing, no.
I had to say it. I had to say
Of course, puns are great. I love it.
it.
I'm a dad, man. Dad jokes are great. But yeah, no, I really enjoyed this. It's presented as a lost piece of film. Like, so this is like it recently rediscovered and now presented for our viewing. So, and there's like a little narration at the beginning that kind of goes into the story of the show and the host and everything like that before it goes, into the actual watching of the episode itself of this particular show. So, but yeah, it's really good. It's really well done. And I truly, excuse me, I truly believe that it's going to be a one of those movies that's going to be a modern classic. It's going to be one of those ones that's going to stand the test of time, and people are going to be talking about it for years.
I mean, I absolutely love him. I'm glad that this is probably, not that people don't already know him, but this is probably going to put him in the face of a lot of people who probably aren't aware.
Right.
And he's always done very odd films. You know what I mean? He's an odd-looking fellow to begin with, but I absolutely love his style because he's totally embraced and immersed himself in horror.
Yes.
And he even has a set of comic books out that I have
Yeah.
not read yet, the Count
The Cal
Crawley
Crawley
books.
series. Yeah.
Yeah, I really need to get on those.
I've read the first two series. They're pretty good. I like them. They're
Yeah.
interesting.
He's clearly about the horror life
Oh, he's all
and
about the horror life for sure,
it's
yeah.
so great too. I don't know if you've seen, but he has a he's a sponsor for a set of caskets, like a coffin
No.
company. So he's like the spokesperson for him, and it's like the coolest ads to look at him and to do this. It's like, this is right up your alley, dude. This is exactly who you are, to be a spokesperson for coffins and just kind of immersing yourself in the dark side of horror and all of these things. I cannot wait to watch this. Unfortunately, I'm not a moviegoer. Like
Right.
literally, it's like pulling teeth to get my family and I to agree. Not that I don't mind going to movies by myself, but I have more fun when I have people with
Yeah,
me.
definitely.
So I know that this is going to be airing on Shudder probably, I think, sometime in April. So I just
Yeah,
have to
it's like
bide my
mid-April is when
time.
it's supposed to come out.
Yeah,
Yeah, I think April
so I'll
19th.
wait and then watch it and then freak out and write my Letterboxd review of how much I love this movie because I can already tell, like you said, it's definitely going to be a cult classic. It's
I
already
think
kind of in
so.
that vein from the way people are talking about it.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I think it's going to be one of those things where it's gonna have some legs for sure, I think. It
So what
did
do
have
you,
some.
how do you feel about, I didn't mean to cut you off, but how do you feel about the AI? Because there's
I
some
was
people
just about
that
to mention that. Yeah.
are like, see, great minds.
Right.
A lot of people have already, I've seen a lot of people on Instagram and various other social media outlets that are just like, oh, I'm boycotting this movie because this is how it starts with AI. But there really is only like a few AI generated scenes, right? There's not like a whole
So
lot in
it's
it.
literally just the interstitial artwork, like whenever it goes to commercial or comes back from commercial, the artwork that was used for that stuff was done with AI, and then supposedly was then gone back over by a real artist to enhance it and make it look better or whatever. I don't know if that was necessarily the case, but so my feeling on it was that number one, I agree. I think using AI art is not good. I'm fully on board with that sentiment about bringing it to the public eye and saying, look, these people used it. They shouldn't have. Let's hope that they don't do it again and that they learn something from this kind of backlash. But at the same time, I don't believe in, and everybody has their own, you can make your own decisions on if you're going to
Right.
watch the movie or not. But I think you're doing yourself a disservice by not going and seeing the movie because it's not just a good movie, but I think that everybody else who was involved in the making of that movie, you take away from that and the passion and everything else that they put into it because there's so much more going on than these little pieces of art. And everybody's argument is all like, okay, well, if you let in this one thing, it's going to let in the door for an AI script or AI actors. I'm like, okay, look, if it gets to that point, yeah, definitely boycott that stuff. And I
Right.
would call for that boycott myself. But trying to boycott a whole movie over a few moments of art, just feels too much. And I feel like and especially for the fact that this movie got made like 2 years ago before all this AI stuff started really gaining as much steam as it has over the last
Right.
year. Because I've seen reviews from people on Letterboxd who saw it a year ago. And so it's been out for, or it was made and even it's been doing the festival rounds for a long time. So it's only just now coming out. And of course, it comes out right during the heat of all that AI art backlash. So I think that the movie it needs to be seen, and
Right.
that if you're going to dismiss it just because of the one art thing, you're really hurting yourself, and the movie. And obviously the movie's not hurting. It did super well.
Right.
And so I think that again, we get into these weird little echo chambers on social media where everybody's saying this stuff, but the general audience doesn't know or care about that stuff. They just see, hey, cool movie. Let me go watch that.
I just
So.
think, once again, like you just said, people kind of run rampant with their statements, and then other people kind of just follow suit, like lemmings, and they just go, "Oh no, I'm not watching that. Don't you know that movie's got AI? Watch it for yourself and then make that decision, sir." Like you said, you've already other people did work very hard. The cast and crew worked very hard to do what they did with this film, which everybody is raving about. So give it a chance and make your own informed decision on, what I agree with you. I don't want any kind of, fully generated AI anything. But if it's just a few pieces, get over yourself and watch it.
Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, that's all I have to say on those. Have you watched anything or anything that you wanted to mention for
You know what?
this last week?
I've been swamped with work, so I haven't watched anything. But I did bring two things I did want to talk about. So we have horror greats. We have great horror directors, and M. Night is one. We also have Cronenberg, who I love. Cronenberg is my god. But now their offspring are making movies, and we already know we have Brandon Cronenberg, and I know you're not a big fan of Infinity Pool.
Was
It's
okay. I didn't hate it. I like
Fine.
Possessor, I didn't care for, but Infinity Pool was a little bit more interesting.
Yeah, Infinity Pool, that's my peanut butter and jelly. I could eat that all day. However, their daughters, both of their daughters are now coming out with films, and I am excited to see both of them because I'm more excited on the Cronenberg side than I
Oh,
am on
that's
the
funny.
M. Night side.
I don't know that I know anything. I knew she had a new movie coming out, but I don't know what it is or what it's about. But I've seen the trailer for Shyamalan's Daughters one, and that one looks fantastic.
The Watchers, yes. So The Watchers, I'm super excited for because not only do we see Dakota Fanning, which we haven't seen her in a minute, other than what Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. I think that was the last time I really saw Dakota Fanning in anything. That one looks really interesting. And the funny thing about these two women are, everybody's going to be comparing them to their fathers. Unfortunately, that's just how it works. I think if my father was a famous director, I would be a baker or something. I don't think I would ever want to. I don't want to follow. It's like if your dad is a rock star, I'm
It's
not
like
going to be a
Sofia
rock star.
Coppola, you know,
Yeah,
everybody compares her to her
I
dad.
would never. Yeah, that would not be my forte at all. I'd be the world's best baker, or something. I'd put cars back together or something. I just could
Right.
not do what they do because it's always going to be that apples and oranges thing. But The Watchers looks really good. The trailer looks really
Yeah,
intense. I'm
I'm very
very
excited for that
excited.
one.
However, on that note, after gushing over that, Caitlin Cronenberg
Yeah.
has this movie coming out called Humaine. If you have not seen the trailer, I would highly advise you to watch it because it is going to be very fun.
Okay.
Basically, the plot of this movie is the world is in shambles, much like now. and we're in an environmental climate collapse, which kind of is like now. And so the government starts this program where you volunteer to be euthanized to kind of save the population. And it's a rich family. We have a peek of a rich family, and the patriarch and his wife, they decide that they're going to volunteer to be in this program. His wife leaves. The people come to collect, and they need an extra body. So now we have a whole family of rich people trying to figure out who's going to be the other body. It's really clever. I'm not doing it
Yeah,
justice. You have to
it
watch the
sounds
trailer.
interesting. Yeah. Yeah, I'll definitely watch the trailer.
So I can see that it's definitely going to be a commentary on class, definitely climate. It's definitely going to be a rich person free for all, and I'm there for that because I love seeing rich people fall apart. It's just
Right.
one of my favorite things to watch on screen. If you haven't seen Succession, you don't know what I'm talking about. It's a hoot to watch rich people melt. Because they're rich, like that you have
Yeah.
absolutely nothing to complain about. And when they whine about things, I'm like, oh my God, you clearly have never rolled pennies and had to take it to the bank. You don't know what that's
Right.
So just to see them kind of, melt and just kind of fall apart, it's one of my favorite modes of genres to watch, just rich people
Right.
just freaking the fuck out. But when you get a chance, watch that trailer.
Yeah,
Those are
definitely I will.
two movies that I'm really excited to go see. It would definitely be The Watchers and Humaine,
Right.
and hopefully that'll be playing somewhere near me, I hope.
All right. Yeah, definitely gonna check out that trailer when we get off air.
Plus, I love female directors. We don't really get
Yeah.
a whole lot of female horror directors, so when we do, it's like that's like the icing on the cake for me. I'm like, oh.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Most definitely. All right. Yeah, I was supposed to have watched the new Godzilla X Kong movie, The New Empire, this week, but I got called into work. They asked me if I could, they asked me if I could come in, and I was like, okay, yeah, sure, I'll make some money. So we're gonna go sometime over the next couple of days to go see it. Although I'm gonna admit I'm not super hyped on this one.
Did you not like the first one?
So I liked I've so this is so the last one, Godzilla versus Kong, I liked it. It was okay. I gave it 4 stars because I liked aspects of it. My problem with it was that it was more Kong than Godzilla. And I feel like this is supposed to be Godzilla's franchise. And they have been transitioning more and more to Kong. And just from the trailers, this latest one seems very heavily Kong. And I saw somebody's spoiler-free review, and they said, yes, this is more Kong. And so I'm just like, what is going on with this franchise? What is Adam Wingard doing with this franchise? Like, why are they transition like barely using Godzilla in this stuff? So it's frustrating, especially because my favorite of these is King of the Monsters, which is the way I was hoping the franchise would go. But because that one didn't do so well with everybody, that they transitioned differently, and now it's all about which I understand, but from what this one sounds like is it's like monster fights galore. And I get that that's what people go for and that's what they're wanting and everything, but after especially after having seen Godzilla Minus Zero, that
Oh
I
yeah, what's
think,
not going to compare to that at all?
well,
I
no,
mean,
of course not,
yeah.
but like, but you know, there's there's nuance that can happen. And I hate that we're getting into this, like, and I haven't seen it yet. So, but I'll go into it. I'm definitely up to see Pink Godzilla. I think that's gonna be fun. Plus Dan Stevens joining the crew. He's great. And so I'm excited to see him and Adam Wingard reteam since
I'm always
their
excited to
first
see
time.
him.
Yeah, since their first time with the guest, which I love the
Yeah,
guest.
I love that too.
Yeah. And so it looks like it'll be mildly interesting, but I'm not expecting a whole lot. Like I said, I'd like to see them get back to Godzilla. I really liked the Monarch TV show that came out on Apple
On
TV.
Apple, yeah.
Yeah, it was so good. And I would love to see them focus more on that kind of arena, that and the King of the Monsters kind of era stuff. But it feels like we're not going to be getting that for a while because apparently Adam Wingard has ideas for the next movie already too. And I'm like, okay, so are we just going to go full Kong here? And that's fine. Have a Kong series, but can I have my Godzilla too? I love
I mean, you
Godzilla,
kind of
not
sold
Kong.
me because you said Dan Stevens, which I did not know he was in this. So I
Oh
may
yeah.
have to go because I have got the biggest lady crush on him. I mean, geez, the guest alone,
Oh yeah.
I not to mention the countless other things I've seen him. I'm like, I watched Downton Abbey just so I can watch Dan Stevens. I really don't even give a shit about that show,
No,
but
he's in this, and he's also in Abigail, which is coming up this
oh, I
next
want to
month
see it.
too. Yeah,
Abigail is definitely going to
Abigail's
be
gonna
fun.
be
And that
great.
also has another Euphoria star, Angus Cloud, who
Yeah, his last movie.
unfortunately died.
The last movie, man.
Yeah, I'm excited.
But yeah, so that's all I have from movies stuff. There's a couple more things I want to talk about. The people behind the making of the movie Murder Size, which we talked about in our year-end episode.
Ooh, Auntie and Paul, I love them.
Yes, AMP Films. They've got a new movie that they're going to be making that's funding right now on Indiegogo. It's called Only Fangs. It's
Love
a,
that title.
yeah, I know. It's so great. And I love the logo for it. It's just the
Logo is
OnlyFans
killer.
logo. That's just, yeah. It's just a takeoff on all that. It's so great. And it's about like, you have to see the promo video for it. It's so fun. It's so silly. I love it so much. And I'm hoping I'm gonna get them on the show soon. I've already been talking to them. I'm gonna get them on the show and gonna try and get Donna to help me out with that.
Oh, I would love to do that because they are a hoot. I absolutely love that couple and their films. If you guys have not watched any of their films, please go back and do so because I know Only Fangs is going to be off the chain. It's going to
Oh, it's
be
gonna be so good.
insane.
So many cool people are in it, and like, their roster that they've been using for a while.
Kansas
Is
Bowling.
yeah, Kansas Bowling, Jessa Flux, Nina Lana Kent. They're bringing back Delana McKinley and McKinney, who hasn't been there since Streets of Vengeance. And then she was in some of their short films before that. And then they're bringing in Ellie Church, Christy Adams from Nightmare Toys is in it.
Nightmare Toys, yeah.
Drew Marvick is back
Drew
again.
is a
So
hoot.
yeah, so and so they've gotten it funded. It thankfully in 15 of the 30 days, halfway through, they made it. They got their funding. So now they're trying to, obviously get extra funding. So if you're interested in a vampire comedy, horror comedy, definitely go check it out. Go watch
Go
the promo.
support them. Oh
Yes,
my
please go
gosh.
support them. They are great people. They have a fun time, and their movies are just fun. And
Their movies are hilarious. I'm
they're
telling you, I
super
and
low budget, but they're hilarious.
if I had not seen Murder Size, I don't think I would have missed out on such great
Oh,
fun. Because the movie is
exactly.
not top tier, but it is right up my alley. It's got boobs, it's
Exactly.
got blood, it's got humor, it's
Right.
so much fun. Oh my gosh, I cannot wait for Only Fangs. I cannot tell you how
Well,
excited I am to watch that.
and you can tell there's passion behind it. It's super low budget, but everybody's having fun and they're putting their passion for movies and all of that behind it. And
I
that's
think
what I
that's what's so
appreciate.
great. Yeah, I think that's what's so great about them and why I liked Murder Size, because you can tell that they're fans of 80s horror and they grew up watching these type of movies,
Yeah.
and it just clearly comes across that way in these films. Outstanding job. I will support everything they do forever and ever and ever.
Same. Same. Yeah. No, I already like first day, I was one of the first day supporters of OnlyFans. I literally like was like got the got made sure I got that signed Blu-ray and the signed poster.
Same. I got the
So
signed Blu-ray. I didn't get the poster, but I did get the
yeah.
Blu-ray. So I'm truly happy to see people putting their vision out there, and
Yes.
we really need to support more independent filmmakers. And
Absolutely.
really, I'm glad that you brought them up because they don't get enough love. I shout them out every chance I get.
Same, same. Absolutely. And that being said, speaking of Drew Marvick, years ago, I actually bought his movie Pool Party Massacre from him at a convention. And I'll admit, at the first time I watched it, I didn't love it. And then I ended up selling the Blu-ray.
No.
Yeah. So, I'm admitting on air my stupidity. I literally just last night got ordered a new copy, like a sealed new copy from somebody on eBay. So, because I need to re-own it because apparently Pool Party Massacre 2 is coming up eventually
Wow.
also. Yeah. So, yeah. So I was just like, you know what? I need to get this. I did rebuy it. It is going to be back into my collection. I realized my mistake. So
We all make mistakes.
exactly. But yeah, no, I did order a sealed
Wow.
nice new copy of it. Hopefully it's all good. But yeah, so and so my only last thing is that I want to talk about Scream 7 a little bit. I think you and I talked about this on a previous episode,
Yeah,
kind of our
briefly.
thoughts about it. So they're still chugging ahead on it. The rumors now are that Patrick Dempsey is about to sign on for it, and that Courteney Cox has signed on for it. So, they're kind of, at the whole thing about this movie, like these last few movies, is they kind of have been redoing the original trilogy. The first Scream 5 was kind of a modern remake of the original Scream, and
Right.
then Scream 6 was kind of a more modern version of Scream 2 because it was set in college and everything.
College.
And so now I'm suspecting, and people suspected that Scream 7 would be kind of a modern take on Scream 3, which again, Scream 3 is my favorite of, after the first original Scream. But so it feels kind of like that's what they're doing, is that they're bringing, now with bringing Patrick Dempsey back into it, they are kind of not redoing it, but, kind of doing their own riff on Scream 3.
I felt like he was going to come back, especially after being in Thanksgiving, and people were like,
Yeah,
oh, so we
true.
hadn't seen him do a horror movie. This was
That's what I
great.
was thinking too.
Yeah,
Yeah.
since Scream 3, and then seeing him in Thanksgiving, he really did a good job in that movie. I have
He
a lot of
did.
fun with it.
Yeah.
So I don't know, I'm still torn on it. I'm probably not
I'm
going to go see this
so
one.
yeah. I'll probably eventually see it. It just kills me because this is like my second favorite franchise, horror franchise, and it kills me so much to see it be like abused like this.
Yeah.
And just like any other time, this would have been great news. Neve Campbell, Courteney Cox, Patrick Dempsey. All directed by Kevin Williamson again, or for the
Yeah.
first time,
I feel the
it
same
would have been
way. I
great.
mean, yeah, it's
Yeah.
one of my favorite franchises to watch. I've already said it a million times
Yeah.
on this podcast and my podcast. I could watch them backwards and forwards all day long just because I love it so much. But it does have it loses its, kind of oomph for me
Yeah.
right now, just because of the timing of everything and what's going
Exactly.
on surrounding it. So, yeah, I probably won't drop any money. I know I won't. I mean, I know I'll watch it at some point, but
Right.
I won't really drop any money to be clamoring to go see it. But it would be nice if you could feel a little bit more exuberant about it. But
Yeah,
yeah.
exactly. Yep. But yeah, I just want to put that out there and kind of get your thoughts on it. But that's all I have for today.
Yeah. I
But
think we did good for this inaugural little blurb that went on way too long.
Well, maybe we
We
won't
told you
have.
guys. We told
Yeah,
you.
it could go long. Couldn't, you know? You never know.
Next time it'll be shorter, I'm sure. Maybe.
Let's hope. But yeah, no, it's a, you know. But yeah, I wanted to start doing this and have a little fun with the, you know, things we. I've been wanting to do this for a while, of doing something where every week I talk about something new, because I think that's, because as much fun as it is to talk about, you know, the, whatever the double feature is and everything else, that we don't talk about what's going on currently. And
Yeah, and I think this is a great, once again, 2024 is going to be a great year for that. So I think we're going to have a lot to talk about in the coming
yeah,
weeks.
I hope so.
Yeah.
So yeah, it should be a lot of fun. That's what I want to do. I just want to keep having fun with this, and you know, keep putting out new stuff every week. Now that I've gone down back down to the 1 week, one episode per week schedule, I think it makes it a little bit easier to do. And you know, hopefully it won't overstuff the episodes. I mean, some of my episodes are already, you know, 2 hours long as it is. Adding an extra 15 to 30 minutes to it.
You see, this is why when I come on here, you go, Donna, okay, cut it, Donna. You have to have a code word with me so you can say, shut up, woman.
It's not you. I've been talking most of the
You
time. So
do, but I mean, you know, you have a lot because you see a lot. So I expect you to have more to bring to the table. But I'll bring a little couple of nuggets with me every now and
yeah.
then. I'll have some
You
cheeky
just gotta
nuggets
tell
that I
me, you
think.
gotta tell the audience what you're watching on Tubi.
Oh, Jesus. Everything, anything. But yeah, I'm kind of getting away from Tubi now just
Oh,
because
okay.
they're not doing it for me right now.
Yeah.
I don't like the logo. That's a thing for another
Ugh.
episode on another
Yeah.
day. I ain't getting into
Truby.
that
Yeah. Yeah, we'll have to talk about that another time. But yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, well, thank you again, and you know, we'll have you back on next week for more of the same.
Absolutely. I look forward to it.
All right, talk to you soon. On today's What's Your Favorite Double Feature, Arielle Powers Schaub joins me to talk about The Strangers and The Collector, as well as her new book, Millennial Nasties, which is coming out on September 17th. Welcome back to the show, Arielle.
Hi, thanks for having me back.
Yeah, it's been a while.
I know, but it's always a good time.
Definitely. So yeah, I was about to ask you, this is what's funny. I was about to send you a message about being on the show because I'm doing my whole what's your favorite double feature stuff now. And you hit me with a message about your book and about coming on to do an episode about the book and possibly about a couple of movies. And so it just was great timing to make that work
Yeah, it was
in sync.
perfect.
Yeah. So, and yeah, so you gave me a couple of suggestions based on titles that you are covering in your book. And I chose The Strangers and The Collector because I'd never seen either one of those. And I was like, okay, yeah, let me watch those two. And
Nice. Get them
talk about
crossed
them.
off the
Yeah,
list.
exactly. And yeah, no, your book is filled with a few things that I still need to cross off my list now, after having read the book. And so yeah, no, I did. I got a chance to read the book in its entirety. And you know, let's talk about that.
Okay.
I
Yeah, thank you so much for giving me a chance to like plug that.
yeah, of course. Yeah, no, I've been excited as soon as you told me about it that you were writing a book about the, you know, the early 2000s, you know, quote unquote torture porn boom, that I was excited to check it out. Like I'll admit I've never been a huge fan of the torture porn genre, but
Yeah.
that being said, I'd actually already seen a bunch of the movies, so, and I wouldn't, like, you know, wasn't not a fan, especially, you know, because you do go through, there's a section in the book where you talk about the Final Destination series, and I'd never
Yeah.
considered those as part of the torture porn genre, but I actually like how you've changed that. Instead of calling it torture porn, we're going to start calling it millennial nasties. I like
Yes, I had the audacity to rename a subgenre of movies because I
that.
don't think torture porn is representative, and a lot of
No.
people don't like saying it. And I think, like, movies like the Final Destination franchise, it's a slasher franchise as far as I'm concerned, and it's really slick and glossy, so it doesn't get lumped in with torture porn, but it is really nasty when you think about it, and the kills are brutal. And so in my book, I'm trying to encompass, like, what are all these movies that were coming out at the time that were like, not quite torture porn, but maybe adjacent, and the remakes of the time. And so I was like, you know what? These are millennial nasties, and that's how we're going to talk about them.
No, and I thought that was a great renaming and a reframing of that whole genre, because really, like, realistically, what these movies did was push the horror genre as a whole into what we have now.
Yes.
Because before that, we had stuff that was considered nasty, in terms of the gore and just what you could do on screen. But it wasn't until these movies that it really pushed the form forward. And since then, you still have stuff that is very gory, very violent, and and pushed it. Now we're not as much. We've it. Some of it's come back, at least in terms of, like, not the nastiness of the gore, but the nastiness of the meanness, I guess. The kind of outright, just meanness towards everything. You go into it in your book too. You talk about, like, the misogyny of the decade. It was really misogynistic.
Yes.
And I feel like we've come out of that and we've gotten better about that. It was very racist at the time too. Racist, misogynist, very it was tied into, like, you go into your book, you mention it a lot, is it's tied into 9/11. The anxiety and everything that we were going through, as a culture was reflected. And that's how horror always is too, is horror always reflects the culture at the time. And so I love that you've reframed all of this, and you can see that what these movies did was push the art form forward into what we have now, where we have, it kind of encompasses everything. You go into it, we kind of had the grief horror, of the 2010s and everything. It's just, I don't know, it's just crazy. Like, your book is really good. It's not just
Thank you.
about, yeah, and that's what I love about it. It was like, you kind of go into, you give little synopses of everything, but it's this analysis of the decade and how it affected these movies, and then coming out of that decade, how that changed things. I think that your book is going to be one of those books that I feel like that people are going to need to read to understand that transitionary period where we went from that, the 80s kind of, everything was wild. The 90s kind of pulled things back and kind of, didn't sanitize things, but definitely pulled things back. And then the 2000s went really wild. And then everything after that kind of was informed by, those 3 decades especially. And then kind of just went, okay, well, let's take everything, let's move it forward a little bit. We can still keep the goriness of it. But let's move things forward and not be so, like, mean. So, but yeah.
And art is always responding. It's influencing the world around it. It's responding to the world around it. And so that's true for cinema and horror cinema. And so we were responding to, like, the movies of the 90s, and then coming out of it, the movies of the 2010s are certainly influenced by the movies of the 2000s. And one of the reasons I wanted to write the book is because this is an era that I do really enjoy. And I feel like it gets It gets a little bit ignored or a little bit disparaged, not all the time, but I
Right.
feel like it hasn't gotten as much like analytical attention,
Yeah.
except for New French Extremity, which deservingly does get a lot of analytical attention, which is awesome. And I don't cover that in my book at all because
Right.
I was like, other people have said really good things about this. Go read those books. But for Millennial Nasties, I wanted to say, look, if you love these movies or if you hate them, they do have things to say. They
Yeah.
are important in horror history. And maybe here's another way to look at them if you never thought of it before.
Yeah, no, agreed. I think that that's, it, you do a good job at kind of breaking that down, kind of like putting it into its context of the time and the place, the what was all going on at that time, and really getting that focus on it. And yeah, I haven't seen anybody, and I don't read a lot of this kind of book normally, but it I haven't seen anybody talk about stuff like that. The torture porn genre seriously gets dismissed all the time because just people only see it as the gross thing that they think it is, and rather than focusing on it, like New French Extremity, that's pretty bad too. And I think because in some ways they go even further, I think that's what attracts people to looking at that more so than America. And I think because the millennial nasties are what they are, and because they're so mean, that I think that's possibly why they get overlooked.
Of course,
And people
yeah.
just kind of pass over and go, they're not worth analyzing. So it's cool that you've taken the time to sit there and go through these and everything. I do want to say I felt like you were missing a couple of movies in there, and I know that you just didn't, you didn't want to overstuff it, because I'm sure there were a ton of movies you could have added to it.
Yes.
But I was just like, you did the in the remake section of it. I was just like, well, where was Friday the 13th and Nightmare on Elm Street remakes? So,
Yeah.
because I
So,
would have felt they would have fit pretty well in there.
I'm glad you brought this up because I kind of want to get a little bit ahead of this.
Okay.
And I as soon as I started writing the book and deciding which movies to include and not include
Right.
and how I was going to organize my thoughts and everything, I was like, "Oh, I'm going to leave stuff out, and people are going to ask me why I chose to leave this or that out." And
Right.
the ultimate answer will always be it wasn't about what I left out, it's about what I included.
Right.
And I, like you said, I can't write about every movie of the time. I have to narrow it down so that the
Gotta
book
leave
is actually readable.
well, you gotta leave some stuff for the sequel book too. So.
Maybe that. And but truly, like, I picked the movies that I thought made my points, like best highlighted the points I wanted to make.
Right.
So I watched some movies that I thought about including and ultimately decided not to. So, I do think like this is a great conversation of what are the other millennial nasties and what movies of the time are not millennial nasties. And so I'm just like, you know what? If my book can kick off those conversations about how do we sort of reframe these movies, I think that's awesome.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you're not going to be the last person to say, I think you missed a few. So there we
No,
go.
yeah. No, and I think that, even though I was like, oh, these would have been great to add in here, I think that what you did add in there said what you probably would have said with those movies as well, without having to kind of repeat yourself. So that, that's where it comes down to, is not having to repeat yourself, when you're talking about another movie, that sure, people are going to be like, oh, well,
Absolutely.
why didn't you add that? Well, because I would have said the same thing about that I said about this other thing. So,
Yes.
yeah.
Yes. So,
So,
it's a fair question, and that is the response.
but yeah, you go, you're, I like you go into a lot of movies. So there's, it's not, sure, there's one or two that people could definitely say, hey, why wasn't that one in there? But you cover the Saw franchise very well. The Hostel movies, of course, those are always the ones that get a lot of the torture porn attention. Rob Zombie's work at the time. There was a lot in here I didn't think of, didn't, and I haven't really seen. So there were definitely movies I'm gonna go back and take a look at, for sure, that I,
That's awesome. That's the goal.
you've got, yeah, the Final Destination movies. I love those movies. So that was great. And then the remake Surge. So yeah, that's, yeah, you cover so much in this book, and it's, it's a great book. I had a lot of fun
Thank you so
reading it.
much.
Yeah,
That,
I'm glad I
that's
got a
the
chance to
scary
read it.
part. Now it's out. I mean, it's not out, but for the people who are talking to me about it, you've read it, and a handful of other people have read it, and reviewers are going to read it, and I'm like, oh, now it's out in the world. People are going to really tell me what they think. So, thank you so much. We'll see, but so far it's been pretty positive.
Yeah, no, that's good. I'm glad, because I think that, like I said, I think that this is going to be one of those books that people are gonna, once it's out there and people start to read it, I think people are gonna go, you know what, this is actually really good. And this could be one of those texts that people go back to and just point to and go, you know what, this genre wasn't nearly as bad as we thought it was. And that, looking at it from the lens that you're looking at it is gonna change it in a lot of ways. So that's awesome.
That's the dream.
And hopefully, we'll all be calling it Millennial Nasties from now on.
I sure will be.
I know I will be. So
Nice.
no, I think that's a much better name than torture porn. I mean, it
Yeah.
just, and because torture porn really is a very narrow window of a very few movies,
Yes,
and
exactly.
where Millennial Nasties really describes all of those movies that you have in your book, plus a few more. And definitely, I think you could probably do a whole nother book of, kind of like the lesser knowns, maybe, or stuff you just didn't throw in here.
Yeah,
But
we'll see. I've got a couple ideas knocking around for another
Good.
book, so we'll see what
Good.
happens.
Well, I'll definitely have you on again for that as well.
Oh, thank you.
But yeah, let's go ahead and talk about the movies.
Absolutely.
They are a small chapter in your book, of their own. They are, let's see, it's a section on home invasion, of course. So The Strangers and The Collector.
Yes.
Yeah, so I'd never seen either one of these. I own The Strangers on Blu-ray, but just hadn't sat down and watched it yet. Because I'm, yeah, so the home invasion subgenre of horror has never really appealed to me. And like, I know for some people it's like, oh, it's too real.
Yeah.
And like, that's never been an issue for me. I think it's just been, I haven't seen any that looked interesting enough, I guess. I had gotten The Strangers Prey at Night, the sequel to The Strangers. And
So much fun.
I actually really enjoyed that. And so, but The Strangers, I did buy that eventually. I think I got it through a sale that Scream Factory was having. And so I was just like, I'll get it. And that way, one of these days, I'll actually finally sit down and watch it. And I finally did. But The Collector was one of those ones also that I had been on my list. I didn't realize it was a home invasion style thing of a sort. And so I, when you brought it up, I was like, okay, yeah, let's do these two, because it really was two that I hadn't seen, and I thought it would be, a lot more fun to talk about movies that I hadn't seen and hopefully would enjoy. So
Hopefully.
yeah, hopefully.
Yes.
But yeah, let's go ahead and talk about The Strangers from
Yes.
2008, with Liv Tyler and what is it, Scott Speedman? And they are beset by a trio of killers who are trying to get inside their house out in the middle of nowhere.
Yes. I
That's
think
awesome.
this is the quintessential home invasion movie. You know, if somebody said to me, show me a home invasion movie, what are they all about? I've never seen one before. I would pick The Strangers. It is, and I mean this in a positive way, it's like the most basic stripped down home invasion plot you can have. Like, that is what the movie is doing. Because we barely get any setup with the characters. They're bummed out. They just left a wedding, and James had proposed to Kristen, and she said, I'm not ready. And it's one of those things where, like, they clearly love each other, but they're hurting and they need to work through it. And they had planned this, like, romantic cabin getaway vacation. So we meet them. They're just pulling up at the cabin in the middle of the night in their fancy clothes, and you know, they're just kind of like, well, we're sad. And that's all the intro we get. We don't really know much else about them. And then the home invasion pretty much begins. And it is, there's no fat on this movie at all. It's got all the good home invasion scares of times when you think they could get away, filling in a reason they don't call the police. So just a lot of good stuff in here that it's like for any home invasion double bill, I'm probably going to pick The Strangers as one of the movies.
No, I agree. I think, it's very lean, very mean, and it's once it gets going, it gets going. There's no real downtime with it. They're just being, and for the most part, there's no like, it's interesting because the torture is all psychological in this. It's, there's no real, they're not being, stabbed or sliced or, shot or whatever throughout the movie that brings them down. No, it's just the terror that somebody's in the house and that they can't either get out or get away. Because they do try to get away at one point and they find out their car's been smashed up. They get it started, but then like one of them in a truck is there to like, block them in so they can't get away. And so yeah, there's a whole bunch going on that's more psychological. And that was something that was fascinating for me too. Like watching the movie is just that they don't really go in for the kill for a long time, not until the very end. And so it's an interesting movie. I wouldn't say I loved it for sure, but I felt it was a good movie. Let's see. I like to always look at my Letterboxd review. I said very effective home invasion thriller with a far too real concept. So, but here's the interesting thing though too, is that for anybody who may not know, that The Strangers is actually getting renewed life, with a brand new trilogy that's coming out this year, a whole trilogy of movies that are all supposed to come out this year, all three
And it's
movies.
not David Gordon Green.
No, it's Rennie Harlan of all people. Which was bizarre. So he's
I
done
don't.
horror before, but
Yes.
it's just
Didn't
bizarre.
he do one of the Exorcist sequels?
He did one of the Exorcist prequels.
Prequels. Oh, yes. Excuse me. Yeah, I have zero expectations. I am going to watch them and, going to try to have some fun. So we'll see. I have no idea what to expect.
I would hope that it would be maybe, I don't know, a little bit closer to Prey at Night. Because Prey at Night is a lot of
It's more of a
fun.
slasher.
Yeah, and it's a lot more fun. There's like a lot going on. The soundtrack is really good, and there's a lot more. I don't know. It moves even quicker. A lot of times. So it although it's been a while since I've seen that. So I
It
just
does
remember,
move more quickly,
I just remember it being a little bit more fun than
It
this one.
definitely is. It's a pretty different movie. I would not describe The Strangers as fun. I really like it, but
No, it's fairly bleak. I mean, like you said, in the beginning, there's this couple is just like down. They've They obviously, like you said, they obviously love each other. They have a connection. There's, you know, they obviously they he wants to get married. She's not ready yet. That doesn't mean she'd
Right.
never be ready, but you know, she's just not ready yet. And you know, but it's put them in this really terrible mood, and you know, where they're just kind of like, it's. I think it's interesting too, because they have this moment where they're finally they're kind of reconciling, and they're actually about to have sex. And then that's when the doorbell rings. So it's interesting to sit there and have this kind of downer mood in the beginning, then the kind of reconciliation coming up, and then boom, some the weird starts to happen.
Yes. And it is very weird. It gives you an uncanny, unsettling feeling. One of the killers or home invaders rings the doorbell and it's dark and they can't see her face. And she just says, "Is Tamara home?" And we don't know who Tamara is. They don't know who Tamara is. They don't know, you know, they're just like, "What? No, you have the wrong house." And it's like back when landlines were a thing, sometimes you would get a wrong number in the middle of the night, and you're kind of waking up to this like weird, you're like, I don't know who you are. And it just gives you sort of an unsettled, like you've been caught off your foot feeling. And they're kind of like, okay, that was weird. And it's just this sort of like they're just messing with them. The killers are just messing with the people in the house before they start, you know, actually invading. There's no other reason to do it.
Yeah, and I honestly felt for the longest time that like they were going to just mess with them the whole time, that they weren't really going to do anything to them, that they were just putting them on such an edge that maybe they wouldn't end up doing anything to them, or maybe torture them a little bit but not kill them. You know, it just was like, so it was interesting to see that that it does finally go there in the end. I mean, and you know, spoiler alert, you know, for everybody, but you know, but I mean, the movie kind of tells you in the beginning too, like you say in your book, that you know, the it so there's obviously something bad has happened in that house. So I do find it interesting, because like the only killing for the longest, like for the longest stretch in the movie, is they accidentally kill his friend. Like he accidentally kills his friend, who's in the house there to pick him up, and they don't realize it's him, and
Yes, it's
blast the gun. Yeah.
it, as an audience member, you can see it coming. You know it's
Oh
going to
yeah.
happen. You're like, no, because James earlier in the night before the home invasion begins calls his friend and is like, "Hey, the proposal didn't go as I expected. Can you come get me? Because I'm feeling really awkward."
Yeah.
And so that friend eventually gets the voicemail and drives out to get him. And he's walking into the house and it looks like there's been some weird things going on. And James doesn't realize it's his friend, so James shoots him and kills him, and it's just like awful because that's like one of their last chances to get away. That's obviously someone they're close to. And before this, Kristen had kind of been chastising James for not knowing how to use a gun. You know,
Right.
she was like, I expect you to know how to use a gun and protect me. And so then he's like, okay, I'll do it. And then it's his friend.
No, it's a definitely like even as you are ready and suspecting it, and you're on the edge, and you know it's coming, it's still kind of a shock when it
Oh,
happens,
yeah.
because it's brutal. It's like, you know, it's of the time, like they. You know, again, this is where it's interesting about how these movies like kind of inform horror movies going on, that that brutality and the sudden shocks of stuff like this continue on to this day. You know, there's where movies have kind of, you know, kind of adapted, and kind of everything encompasses everything today. I feel like the filmmakers of today are, most of them anyway, are just kind of taking all the lessons of everything and just kind of mashing them up. And I love that's what it seems like we're at now, is that everybody's taking these I don't know, the lessons of the past, I guess, and applying them to their movies now. And
Yeah.
that's what's really fun about it, you know, is that even this era where people could be like, oh, it's just so mean and there's nothing to take from it. No, there is. You know, that brutality and the horror of that brutality is great to have, maybe tempered with some more humanity
Yeah, look at
that we didn't
Terrifier
have.
3. Or sorry, Terrifier 2. I'm excited for Terrifier 3. That's why I said that. But like Terrifier 2, I think is an excellent example. That movie is gory and like brutal, but you've got lovable characters and a final girl you want to cheer for. So it's like, yeah, there's a lot we can take from this era and repurpose.
Well, and I think that's what's interesting about the Terrifier movies too. The first Terrifier movie feels like it's a throwback to this early 2000s because it's just
Yes.
brutal, it's mean, it's nasty, it's misogynistic. Everything about it feels like an early 2000s movie. And then Terrifier 2 comes out, and like, I'm not a fan of the Terrifier movies. They're fine, but I don't love them at all. And I think that they're interesting for what they're doing, but they're not my jam. But I do think that Terrifier 2 does a better job at it and is building some interesting things in it, and is taking, like we said, it's taking that what they did in the first movie, what they've gotten from those from that genre, and kind of you know, retooling it, like you said, to give it, you know, more likable characters, a final girl that's, you know, badass. And you know, hopefully they continue kind of evolving that into the next movie. So,
Yeah. I'm excited. I'm here
yeah,
for
I'm
it.
interested enough that I'll see it. And, you know, it'll be once it comes out on one of the streamers or something. But you know, it'll be interesting enough for me to check out, because I do think that it has potential, for me to, for my own self, has potential to reach, you know, beyond what it's been so far. So, but I understand why people love it as it is as well.
Yeah,
So,
it did gangbusters at
no,
the
yeah,
box
especially
office,
number
and
two, yeah.
yeah, so
But yeah, no, the strangers is, there's, I argue there's really not a lot to talk about it in it because it is so lean. But it's all about that, that tightness of suspense,
Yes.
and just that cat and mouse of them just messing with them, and having three, you know, killers, whatever, you know, the three home invaders, helps kind of, you know, there's always somebody around the corner, you know, so they always,
Yes.
there's nowhere to run because there's always somebody around the corner. And I found it fascinating too, because it's two women and a guy. And so it's very much, you know, very, you know, kind of pushing things a little bit forward. You know, it's not just guys, you know, so it was smart of the
Women can
filmmaker.
be home invaders too.
Exactly. But it
It's
was smart.
2008.
Right. And it's smart because you go through this in your book too. This is a, you know, a good chance to talk about this, is that the early 2000s, you know, when things were changing and becoming this genre of the millennial nasties, where things were getting really nasty. But by the end of the decade, things started to soften again. And so there was still the hard edge to it, but it was softening, and you were starting to see less of the misogyny. You know, a little bit less. But so that's what this movie's great at, kind of showcasing that, is that, you know, sure, it's just one guy, but the girls in it are possibly the meaner of them. And so it was, it's again another fascinating aspect of this movie.
It is. I think the masked invaders are extremely interesting. This movie gives us the most terrifying line of, why are you doing this? Because you were home. You know, there's no, the killers take off their masks at the end. And in any other movie, that would be a reveal of the whodunit, you know? And there's no recognition for James or Kristen at all. They don't know who they're looking at. it doesn't help them, and it's just because you were home. And as they're driving away, one of them says to another, "It'll be easier next time." And that tells us there's this pattern that these people have done this before, they will do it again. They're bringing more people on, some interns, trainees, like
Yeah.
it'll, you know. So it sets up this whole world with just a couple small little lines about these invaders. And you know, I think that's something I'm looking forward to in the trilogy is like, are we going to learn more about them? We don't necessarily have to, but
Right.
we could because there's clearly something going on with them just from those two lines.
No, I agree. I think that the what the first movie does so well, and even I would argue the second movie, because I don't think we see them in the second movie either. We never see their faces. We never
Right.
know anything about them. So, you know, all of it is very much random, and you know, and that makes everything more frightening, because in general, when you have a killer, you know, sometimes they're random, and especially in slashers and stuff like that. The killer's just killing indiscriminately. But more often than not, it's somebody they know.
Right.
And so having, especially in a home invasion style thing, you know, and it's just, you know, there was no purpose. I mean, if they were there to rob them or something like that, that would even be more, you know, it would make sense even more. But
Right.
yeah, with this concept, it's that is very frightening, because you were home. There was no other reason than that you just happened to be home that day.
Yep.
And yeah, no, that's just, it's scary as all get out. And you know, it's definitely a great setup for a potential franchise, which looks like it's, you know, now what, 15 years later, is
Right.
finally taking off into something bigger. So yeah, we'll see how that new trilogy goes. I'm
Oh,
interested.
wow.
Definitely interested
Yeah.
in seeing
I don't
where
know.
that, and so, but that actually kind of plays into our next movie as
It
well,
does.
The Collector, because this is another franchise that had only two movies, and has had a third sequel in the works since the second sequel, that just has never gotten off the ground,
Right.
and will hopefully at some point get off the ground, because yeah, after that second movie, definitely kind of need some resolution there. But
Oh, yeah.
yeah, let's talk about the first movie, The Collector.
Yes.
It's also a home invasion of a sort. This one started life as a Saw prequel,
Yes.
that was supposed to be, you know, a take on, like, I guess, a what John was up to before the events of Saw.
Right.
And it's this one was written by Marcus Dunstan and forget his first name, but Melton,
Yeah, Patrick Melton.
Patrick Melton. I wanted to say Peter for some reason, but Patrick Melton, and directed by Marcus Dunstan. They actually wrote Saws 4, 5, 6, and 7, and are coming back to write number 11. So they have a long, very big history with the Saw franchise.
Yes.
So hopefully, and this is what I was talking to somebody else about, was I hope that them, or maybe it was you, that I was talking to somebody about it, but I'm hoping that the Collector 3, or the Collection, I think is what it's going to be called.
The collected.
The Collected, right? The Collection's the
Yes.
sequel. I'm hoping that you know, being that they're the writers on the new Saw, and if it does well, hopefully that will give them the cachet to get the Collected finally moving.
That would
So
be sweet. I
yeah,
know that a lot of the props were
they're
stolen, and that
stolen.
is a hard thing to address. Like they have to start over with a bunch
Yeah,
of
they'll have to
stuff.
start
But
over. Yeah.
if Saw 11 or whatever they're gonna, I don't know, Saw 11 is gonna do
Yeah.
really well, maybe that's enough money to give them a blank check. So that would be, I know everybody tells me to give up hope on the collected, and I refuse to do it. If we all wish it hard enough, maybe it'll work.
Well, see, as somebody who's come to them most recently, who'd never watched them and everything like that. I'm interested, and now I'm clamoring for it. So add
Good.
that one more voice to it.
Yes. My work here is done.
Right. So yeah, so this one's interesting because you've got the main character of this is a guy who is a thief. You know, he poses as a guy who's helping on this, and maybe not poses, he's actually working on this house that's kind of being redone, and there's a lot of work being done on it because the family's rich. He finds out that there's this, you know, gem or whatever that's in the safe, and he wants to steal it and everything. He doesn't necessarily want to steal it. He has to steal it because his wife somehow is involved with,
like loan sharks
or something like that.
Yeah.
And, it's really terrible. She's a terrible person in this movie. I needed to address that because she's a terrible, terrible person. And all of this is on her because she made whatever bad decisions, and she's yelling at him to be able to get the money, or she's going to have to leave with the daughter. It's like, nah, you don't get to leave with my daughter because you've messed up. Like,
I don't know, dude. We don't know what drove her. We don't know what kind of desperation.
True. But
I think something.
It seems like it's all on her, though.
Yeah, frame her very positively. I just want to. Stand up for her.
They really don't frame her very well. And so, but yeah, yeah. No. I'll give her the slight benefit of the doubt.
You don't know. It's like a theme running through this movie is desperate financial situations and what that can get you into. And this came out in 2009.
Right after the housing collapse and the economic collapse.
Yes, yeah, there was definitely economic anxiety around time. And so I think this movie plays into that really well because, yes, Arkin's a thief, but he would not have been in this particular situation if he didn't desperately need to pay off a debt.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. So, yeah. So he goes back to the house at night. He's like, okay, this will be an easy thing. I know the alarms. I know how to get in. I know where the safe is. I know how to crack it, all this stuff. And so he's just like, this will be super easy. So he gets in real easy. He gets the gym, and then he hears somebody moving about because there's not supposed to be anybody there. The family's supposed to be gone, and he tries to get out and immediately gets hurt by some kind of trap that's been set. And that kind of puts everything edge for the rest of the movie. There's somebody in there, and they have set the most wild booby traps. I don't know how he had time. Since the time that Arkin and them left, and for him to be able to set all of this up, because
he's a professional.
This house is, well, I will agree to this, but only because when you see him in the second movie, this dude is on another level. In the first movie, he's not nearly like that cool, but in the second movie, it's bananas. I talked to you about this, and you said that the collection is the aliens to the collector's alien. And I was like, you know what? That's actually fairly accurate. It's like a whole step up. The production is on another level. They obviously had more money. It's more insane.
There's
and
more
intense.
Action.
It's more action. Yeah. It's more of an action horror.
It's fun.
It's way fun. I definitely am on the board. I'm on board with a lot of other people who think that the second movie is the better movie.
Oh, absolutely. I would say most people who've seen both of them agree with that.
Right.
I love The Collector. I love, love, love this movie. The Strangers, but I love The Collector.
I will say I like The Collector better than The Strangers, for sure.
Okay.
That was definitely, it was definitely more fun. I gave it 3.5 stars. I gave The Strangers 3 stars.
Nice.
And I said, you know, interesting setup and world building and gruesome traps and an intense third act. The third act is, it's beyond intense. This movie, again, being at the tail end of the millennial nasties era. And because that's what we're going to keep calling it. and then, it still is really nasty. It is
Oh,
fairly there.
yes.
There's not, I would argue there's not really that much misogyny to it.
No, not,
Because
I
there's,
mean, everybody gets it pretty bad in this movie.
yeah, it's equal opportunity for sure.
There's some
There,
homophobic slurs, but that's pretty much where the bigotry is.
right. And I think honestly, like it's not the greatest for sure, but I think it's done in a way to that because Arkin is saying it to the collector, he's trying to bait him. So it's really not so
Yeah.
much, it's not done in a way that's meant to disparage anybody, like it when in its normal usage. You know what I mean?
Yes, the
So
movie is not endorsing the use of these slurs. The movie is
right.
having the main character, Arkin, do that in a moment of desperation, and
Right.
showing you that the collector reacts to that is negative at the collector. Like, we're like, oh,
Right.
you're going to get baited by that. You must be pretty
Right.
homophobic. Like, that's another knock against you.
Right, exactly.
Still, notable that they didn't go for that in the sequel. So I do
I
think
did notice that.
it's
Yeah, he
very of
did.
a time.
Yeah. And I think that's what's interesting about it is that the stuff that they did in the first movie that they do in the second movie, that they kind of twisted slightly because they're like, okay, let's be slightly more sensitive, you
Yes.
know?
Yeah.
It's still not great in the second movie, but
Oh,
it's
yeah.
definitely a little bit more sensitive. It's definitely not a homophobic slur, at least.
Right.
So, but yeah, no, it's the movie overall is it's nasty for
Yes.
sure, between all the traps and just the sheer amount of brutality in this movie. It is brutal. I would say, because that's the thing. The Strangers isn't very brutal. There's brutal
No.
moments here and there, but there's no real until I guess the very end, there's no real torture.
Yeah, there's not a lot of violence.
No, it's just all
It's,
psychological.
yes, the
But
collector is the opposite.
this movie is not psychological. It is all physical. It's all
Yes.
brutal. It is like, I mean, I would argue there's some psychological because the
Oh,
wife is
absolutely.
blindfolded. But yeah, no, this movie's really brutal. It's yeah, it's very much, I can definitely tell that this was meant to be a Saw movie, that
Right. It feels like a Saw sequel, like right smack in the middle with
right.
all the traps and even the filmmaking, like the way the camera follows some of the traps and the way the traps are just like
Right.
Rube Goldberg machines that would be impossible.
Right.
It feels very Jigsaw, and that makes sense. I'm glad it was its own thing. I'm glad it wasn't a Saw prequel.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have liked it as much.
I
I
don't
like
think
the
it would have worked
collector.
as well.
Right. Well,
Yeah.
especially because everything we learn about John Kramer in the later sequels, but like,
Yeah.
the collector needs to be his own villain.
Right. And I like that they were able to do that because that gives Dunstan and Melton their own thing, their own creation, their own,
Yes.
and something to call their own without necessarily, especially being as tied as they are to the Saw franchise, that they also have this thing that's their own.
Yes.
And so I think that's great for them. And I hope I really do hope they get their third movie.
Me
Especially
too.
because, it sucks because they did start filming it, but it was so long ago now, they probably can't use any of that footage now. Because they had Tom Atkins in it, and so I mean they could still get him, but he's older now, so it's
Right.
just everybody's much older at this point. I mean not much older, but it's been
In
at
movie
least,
years,
yeah,
yeah.
it's been a good few years now. So because the when did the second one come out? 2012,
Yes,
2013, somewhere
2012.
around. Yeah, so now it's been 12 years later. So
Yeah.
it's a be different. Like it's gonna be weird to go back and kind of like put these actors back into it and go, okay, it's only been a few days after the first movie, because the first movie ends on such a cliffhanger that you
It
kind of have to
does.
follow it up immediately after that. So it's gonna be
Yes.
weird to like get back into it.
Yeah.
Do they recast? What?
I don't
Do
know. I want
yeah.
to see it though. I
I
want it to
know.
exist.
Yeah. And and that's the interesting thing. Is I'll say that the first movie, after watching the first movie, I thought the first movie was good. I didn't really feel like it needed a sequel, or that a sequel would be interesting enough to, garner a whole franchise on. And I liked it. And I wouldn't, and I wasn't against it, obviously, because I watched the sequel. But it definitely, I think the sequel helped elevate it and give it new life, beyond what it was. Because again, it's very much a continuation. The first movie is a very much a continuation of the millennial nasty formula.
Yes,
And I
very
feel
much
like we
so.
had to transition out of that after
The
this.
ending is bleak. Like, if you just watch the first movie and leave it at that, the ending's very bleak. The second movie helps with that. But I like a bleak ending, so it works
Yeah,
for
and
me.
I'm not against the bleak ending. Both of these
No.
movies that we're talking about today both had very bleak endings.
Yes. Yes.
But yeah, it's this one was interesting. Like you said, it's got the traps. It's got an interesting villain, the collector. You never see his face. Both of these movies are very interesting because you never see the faces of the killer or whatever. And they're wearing masks, and he's wearing a mask. He's wearing a very interesting looking mask.
Yeah.
And his eyes seem to glow all the time.
Yes, like
It's a
an
very creepy
insect.
look the whole time.
Yes.
Like an insect. And
And
this, go
we
ahead.
don't really know his motivation either, you
No,
know? We know
no, it.
Arkin's motivation. So the Collector is a double home invasion movie. You've got Arkin doing a home invasion to steal a gem, and you think that's what it's going to be about, and then suddenly there's another person there. The first time I watched this movie, I was like, wait, what? Did I miss something? Like, did he bring someone else? Like, who's this person on the team? And I like rewound it and I was like, no, I didn't miss anything. Okay. Because then suddenly there's a second home invader. And so we, other than hearing the phrase, he always takes one, we don't know anything. That's kind of like the because you were home of the collector, is he always takes one. And we don't really know what that means.
Yeah, we don't really learn much about that until the second movie. So again, like there's lots of interesting setups that pay off in the next movie. And that doesn't mean that this one's bad at all. It means that this one leaves you with that bleak and kind of ambiguous ending that makes you kind of interested. If you're interested in more, then yeah, definitely
Yes.
follow into the next movie.
Yes, absolutely. And I should say, like, the collector probably needs a content warning for there's a lot of insect stuff, and there's animal deaths, not real life, but on screen animal deaths. And there's children in peril. So there's like a lot in the, and in addition to all the nasty, nasty gore, all the favorite kinds of gore. We got teeth, we got fingernails, we got, you know, ears. So like, definitely wouldn't want someone to go into this without knowing that.
Yeah, no, be very aware
Yeah.
that this movie is honestly, that's what's interesting about it is even though it's at the tail end of the millennial nasties era, this one is like kind of the epitome
It
of the
really
era.
is.
This has is again, not with the misogyny, but there is definitely some male gaze. There's
Yeah,
a male gaze
definitely.
moment where the older daughter is topless during a sex scene.
Yes.
But beyond that, there's no misogyny. There's no, but it's very the rest of it, the meanness, the nastiness, the brutal torture of everything is prevalent in this movie.
Yes.
That the animal death, which was a hallmark of the era, which was weird. Especially given that horror fans don't like animal death. It,
Right.
most horror fans anyway
It's
don't
one of
like
the
animal
biggest
death.
content warnings to like put on a horror movie. I mean, does the dog die.com exists because we need that. And so this movie goes hard. It
Yeah, it
I it
really
really
does.
It is a good, if someone was like, can you show me a millennial nasty and help me understand what they are? I think the collector would be a really good example.
Yeah, I think that would be like it because it kind of encompasses everything that encompasses, I don't know why I said it that
No
way,
worries.
encompasses everything that it's kind of this amalgamation of everything that came before. And I think that's what's
Yeah.
interesting too about it, is because these guys literally came from the Saw franchise and said, can we do a movie that's like Saw,
Right.
but almost worse?
Oh,
So
absolutely.
just in terms of the brutality and everything else like that. But and so, I think that's what makes it an interesting movie. Because yeah, you could point to the Saw franchise, but realistically, if you were to point somebody to Saw, you would want to point them to Saw 1. And
Yes.
that's not that crazy. It's not as
Right.
crazy as it gets, because you can't point them to any of the later sequels because they're so tied together that you
Exactly.
have to watch them all together. You can't just pull one out and go, here, watch this one. I mean,
Right.
you
But it would
could,
be weird and
but it
confusing
would be
and
weird and confusing. Yeah. But that's definitely, and some of the other ones of the era, and you go through this in your book, some of them are just so mean that they're not good representation. Well, I mean, in ways they are good representations, but if you're only wanting like the brutal kills and stuff like that, then
yeah.
the collector is definitely the one to go with, because it's very indicative of that portion of it, without the meanness and the misogyny and everything, without the negative aspects of it.
Yeah, there's just not a lot of dialogue, and so there's not a lot of room
True.
for stuff to come out, especially once the brutality, like the violence begins. So, a lot of what I love about this movie is the look and the sound. The look is very like blue and green, which is of the time, of course. And there's a storm going during the night of the home invasion. And so I love the storm in the background. And this is one of the only movies I can think of where like screaming and wailing is used in the soundtrack and not, it's not the screaming and wailing from the characters in the movie. It's just a part of the soundtrack. And I just think
Interesting.
that gives it a feeling of like a heightened like anxiety feeling.
It just keeps you on edge. Yeah,
Yes.
no, a good, like good audio in movies is kind of like, I wouldn't say it's rare, but some people just know how to use it really well, and some people don't. And
Yep.
I think it's rare when you do have somebody that knows how to use it just to keep the tension tight like that.
Yeah, and I think the collector nails it.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it's definitely a movie that keeps you on edge the whole time, especially because it is very tight. There's not a lot of, it's Arkin running around the house trying to avoid traps. And thankfully he's smart and sees most of them. So he doesn't get
Yes.
caught by a lot. It's definitely interesting, because some of it comes back into play later, either, other victims or even the collector himself. So it's interesting, that you have a character who's smart enough to avoid a lot of that. So
Yes. Yeah. And there was so spoilers, obviously. There was going to be a version of the movie where it ends
I
when
was
there's a
gonna, yeah, I was
you
gonna
were you
talk
going to
about
bring this
this.
up? Okay.
No, go ahead.
There's a movie where Arkin gets out of the house. He makes it out and
Yes.
he's running away. And then he looks up and the like 6-year-old daughter of the family is he sees her trapped in the house, banging
And he's
down the
been
window.
looking for her too,
Yeah.
throughout the first part of the movie. He's been looking for her because he was gonna save her,
He was trying to save her. He genuinely looked for her. He assumes she must, he's like, I don't find her. And so he leaves the house and turns around and sees her. And so he goes back in to save her. There was going to be a version of the movie that ends with him like running away and leaving her to die. And I think they made the right choice because that would make Arkin ex like that would ruin Arkin.
Well, and especially based on the setup that we already had from him, that he's a
Yes.
loving dad, and
Yep.
that throughout the whole sequence of this, he'd been trying to look for the girl. If he
Yep.
just like left at that point, Like that would just be like, and I get there's an argument to go, he was leaving to go get somebody to come back and to save her, you know, to get
Yeah.
authorities or something like that. But that just doesn't seem to be the kind of person he is because, yes, he's a thief, but he's not a horrible person. He's not somebody who would just be a jerk like that, you know?
Right.
So,
And leave
yeah,
the
it
kid to
definitely.
die. So
Well,
I.
and so part of it, what I saw too was like, not only did he just leave her there, but he also flipped her off and like left her there.
Oh,
And I'm like,
that would
what?
be
Why? That
way
would just
over
be
the
way
top.
out of character. Like it just, yeah,
Yes.
it was
That
just bizarre.
would
And I think
not
that was
work.
just somebody making something up, but that was just
Okay.
weird. But yeah, I was just like, that doesn't seem right. But yeah, also it just would have made the movie really short because there was at least another half hour after that
Yes.
point. So
I unless they like added way more running around in the house, that would not have been a feature-length film.
right. Like maybe if they had then the maybe the character shift then goes to the daughter then and
Yeah,
her
that
trying
might
to get away,
work.
but that would have
Oh,
been that
God.
would have just been would have been weird.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I like the way that they did it. He goes back for her and you know tries to save her and everything. You know, I don't want to spoil too much. But yeah, it's definitely a fun movie. It's in, well, not fun, but
I think it's fun.
it's fun.
I'd have
It's
fun with it.
yeah, no, you know, if you're into that stuff, if you're into a Saw style thing without it being Saw, this is definitely the movie to check out because it's got the
Absolutely.
traps, it's got an interesting villain. You know, it's not playing with morality like John
No.
Kramer does.
Right.
But you know, it's definitely its own thing and it's got an interesting villain that I think becomes even more interesting in the second movie.
Yeah.
So
If you want Home Alone style traps in a
right.
Saw-like setting,
Yeah.
this is the movie for you.
Yeah. Definitely. Yeah, I think and then, you know, if you like this, definitely check out the second movie, The
Yes.
Collection, because The Collection just amps everything else up. Arkin's back and he's hired to well not hired kind of roped into helping this group of people save a girl who has been kidnapped by the collector and taken to his house which is not house but it's a hotel that he's taken over and so imagine so I'm not sure if everybody knows this person, but there was a serial killer named H.H. Holmes who had
Yes.
a hotel that was a horror hotel that he would have people in there, and there were all kinds of trap rooms and everything. And it feels very much like they were doing kind of an homage to him
That's a
in a
really good
way.
point. I
Yeah.
never thought of that, but I, yes, absolutely.
Yeah. So I'm H.H. Holmes is one of those ones that it's one of the few serial killers that I've been fascinated by him and Jack the Ripper. Which, you know, some people kind of assume H.H. Holmes might have been Jack the Ripper.
Whoa,
There's a
plot
theory
twist.
anyway. Yeah. But anyway, that this the collection is fun, but it's like we said, it's more of an action driven. It's still horror. There's still a lot going on. The kills are still brutal and violent. And that's what I think is interesting, like I said before, is that what they took from the Millennial Nasties era continued on. It did not the kills did not get less brutal. They continue on into the future, into movies that changed and morphed became less mean per se, but still were very brutal in their own ways. And I love
Yes.
that that's what we took from that is that we could have the gore aspects of it without being so mean. That's what I enjoy about horror nowadays is that, you know, it evolved and it's taking
Yeah.
everything from before. And that's what I love about your book too, is just that you can see this evolution. You go through it and you talk about how even the stuff from the beginning changed in the end, and how there were movies that came out before 9/11 that were kind of the blueprint that, you know, or things that like House of a Thousand Corpses, that kind of fell into that, or were blueprints for things that came in the future, or
Yes.
sensibilities. So, but you'd look at some of the filmmakers of that time. I think, you know, people like Eli Roth and Rob Zombie, who kind of epitomized the meanness of that, and how they've, I feel like they both have struggled to adapt to the post-millennial nasty era.
Thanksgiving, though, I think
No,
Eli Roth knocked that out of the
he
park.
did. He's not a great person. Let's put that out there.
For
But
sure.
he did make a good movie. Thanksgiving was definitely a good movie.
And it didn't feel like an Eli Roth movie.
It
And
did not.
like it feels like he took criticism we've been giving for years and applied it. It's very interesting. Yeah.
And I have not watched The Munsters yet. Rob Zombie's The Munsters.
I haven't either.
But I've heard that, you know, it's more playful and silly, and you know, especially, you know, probably because it's a project that was adapted from a family-friendly show that, you know, I know
Yes.
it's PG, so it I know that he had to tone a lot of stuff down to make it what, you know, well, you know, I don't think he necessarily toned anything down. I think this is the movie he wanted to make. He wanted to make a PG movie, so I'm sure, don't get me wrong, I'm sure there's an R-rated Monsters in him.
Yes. Yes.
But you know, this was what he made. But so, you know, it'll be interesting once I do finally watch that to see, you know, kind of where that went, and see what his next step will be for him.
Yeah.
So
I think it's a good point that like you know, whereas James Wan and Lee Whannell have gone on to have big careers after the fact. So Eli Roth and Rob Zombie have made movies since then, and they've made movies I've liked since then,
Right.
but they haven't until Thanksgiving hadn't really like had a big breakout movie that everybody was talking about. And so I hope that for Rob Zombie, you know, I'd love to see another movie on par with House of a Thousand Corpses, which is my favorite of his movies. So, you know, there's still time.
Right. I've only not, I think there's only been two, no, now three that I haven't seen of his, which is Lords of Salem 31 and The Munsters. So,
Yeah.
you know, of the ones that I've seen, I think I'm more partial to Devil's Rejects. But you know, again, I think that's because it takes what House of a Thousand Corpses did, kind of puts an action-y spin on it.
Very
So
much like the collector to the collection.
you're right.
Yeah. And I like
Yeah.
the originals more of both of those.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah, you're a purist. I see.
I don't know. I think I just like the really weird stuff where you sit with the weirdness. Like House of a
Yeah.
Thousand Corpses is so
Oh, it's bizarre. It's
strange. And
very bizarre.
I love that. And that's another movie that I think sounds really good. Like the sounds in House of a Thousand Corpses are incredible.
Right.
You can watch that movie with your eyes closed and just have a nice time.
I don't know if nice time would be the
I've definitely taken a nap to that movie.
That's when you know it's a comfort movie. That's funny.
Yes,
But
yes.
no, these two movies were interesting. I think for me, I prefer the sequels to both of these more,
Yeah.
which is interesting. But it's nice to see the originals, and to see especially from the millennial nasty era. See them as you know, nice representations from
Yeah.
that era, especially being latter movies from that decade. And they're kind of, like we said, the collector especially is this kind of nice representation of what this genre was and could be.
Yeah, it is. It's a great example. It's a really telling example.
Yeah, definitely. So, was there anything that we mentioned about the or that we haven't mentioned about these two movies that you wanted to mention?
I think so.
Okay.
I think we pretty well covered it. Everybody out there, just please keep wishing for The Collected, the third movie.
Yes,
We
yes.
definitely need that. But yeah, I think we did it.
Yeah. All right. Well, definitely, everybody check out her book, Millennial Nasties, when it comes out September 17th. Make sure you can go pre-order it. Where's the best place? Encyclopocalypse?
Yeah, Encyclopocalypse is the publisher, and on encyclopocalypse.com, there's a pre-order section. Or if you go to any of my socials, it'll be the pinned post at the
There you
top.
go.
I'll have the link.
Why don't you tell people where they can find you also?
Oh, yeah. Well, you can find me invading your home in the middle of the night, setting up traps. But if you're looking for me on socials, you can find me at Ari underscore Hellraiser across the board on all the platforms.
Yeah, no, definitely check out the book. It is a very fun read. It's
Thank
very,
you.
very, very quick. I think I did it over the course of just a few nights.
Nice.
Just a little bit every night. And yeah, no, it like I was it's a page turner for me. It was a page turner for me. I was just like, oh, okay, let's keep reading. Let's keep reading.
Thank you so much. That is so
Yeah.
kind. I'm just so glad to hear that.
Yeah. No, it's definitely a lot of fun and very informative. And like I said before, I think that it's gonna be one of those books that is going to be indispensable when talking about horror films in general, because it's talking about an era of film that people just aren't analyzing and talking about.
Well, I
So,
hope so. You know, that's the dream.
yeah. Well, thank you very much for coming on again.
Thank
We
you for having me. I've
gotta
really
have
been
you on again
enjoying
soon. Yeah.
your double feature series. That has been a
Yay.
lot of fun. I think my favorite episode I've listened to so far was The Slumber Party Massacre 2 and
Yeah.
Hello, Mary Lou. Oh, that was a great double bill.
Yes. Yeah. Onika brought that to me, and that was a great double bill. They
Yes,
both fit
so.
very well. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Onika is always very fun to talk to. So yeah, definitely a fun episode. Yeah. No, I definitely am having fun with this. Kind of going back to how the podcast was originally before I started doing all the deep dives into all the series and stuff,
Yeah.
which was the plan originally for this year, but then I changed it to kind of go back to this, because you were my second guest ever, and
That's wild. That's so cool.
yeah, and so yeah, getting back to the original core of what the show was.
And it's always fun to hear suggestions for double features that you wouldn't
Yes.
necessarily think of. So that's been really fun.
Yeah, no, definitely. And people have been bringing me some great stuff, and it's going to be, I'm probably going to have people back on for multiple, going through some of these, 'cause the ones you brought me, like each one of them was great. This one just seemed like the more the because I hadn't seen either one of these
Oh,
was the
yeah.
one to go with first. So.
Absolutely.
But yeah, no, and definitely maybe we can get you back on right around the time of the book release, so we can do a
Anytime.
little bit more of a book push on
I
that.
mean, that would be great for me, but yeah,
Yeah.
it's always a pleasure. So, anytime.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate it, and thank you very
Yeah.
much.
Thank you. Have a good rest of your day.
You too. Thanks again to Ariel for joining me. Next week, Julia Mercado returns to the show to talk about Spider-Man: No Way Home. Thanks for listening. Creepy and Geeky is a part of the Morbidly Beautiful Podcast Network. Please check out morbidlybeautiful.com/podcasts for more great shows. If you like what you've heard, please consider giving the show 5 stars and a review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Also, please share the podcast on social media to help spread the word. Make sure to subscribe on your favorite podcast app or at creepyandgeeky.com. Music for the podcast is Gratitude, composed by Harper Smith. You can follow the podcast on social media at Creepy and Geeky on both Twitter and Instagram. If you'd like to follow me, I'm GeekThulu on Twitter and Geek.Thulu on Instagram. You can support the podcast by ordering teas and more on TeePublic or by donating to the coffee page. All of the links are in the show notes. finally, don't forget, stay creepy.